Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guest to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Mission Accepted podcast show, where honestly, we just rock out and inspire stories around entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship. Do you know what entrepreneurship is? It's entrepreneurs on fire. That's what it is. Everybody seems to be an entrepreneur now. It's when you're doing more than one thing. You've got this amazing plethora of offers or opportunities to offer people. And that is what entrepreneurship is. And we are all becoming that to some degree. Creatives, singers, dancers, actors. Sometimes we don't look at them as entrepreneurs, but oh man, have they had to make their way just like we do, no matter what we do. They're looking for that break. And so are we in our business. And then, you know, I got to say, bless the self-fulfilling media, you know, podcast hosts, for example, radio hosts and TV hosts. We're all out there kind of doing our business and doing our thing to help other people. So this is a show where you get to hear from all of them. And if you are one, please call me. Let's get you on the show. But we have done something pretty special. And by now you have probably met Melissa. Melissa is our expert in supporting and educating people that are entrepreneurs. And for those of you that want to be entrepreneurs, or you want to learn more about this, what the heck is digital marketing? So I won't go deep into the roots of this woman's incredible story of how she decided to go from corporate, where she was, you know, doing extremely well in corporate, to having an epiphany around forgetting her daughter's age when someone asked her about her birthday party and realizing that maybe she wanted to do something that was building more time freedom for her. And so she has agreed to come on, and we're so grateful because she is truly an expert in her field in this digital marketing world, and come and share, what is digital marketing? What are the aspects of digital marketing? What can you tap into and really get the, you know, without having to pay for the 15 top tips? We're just giving it free. You know, we're just here free. And then if you have any questions, she'll give you her information. You can reach out and she'll graciously help you through that. And we're talking about different topics over the course of the next number of months. You are going to get to know this woman. I myself have been having some epiphanies doing these, and I know I've known her for a while. Anyways, you guys, I want to introduce Melissa, and Melissa is going to be coming on today, Melissa McClelland. And she is going to be coming on today and talking a lot about evergreen. We hear this word evergreen opportunities and evergreen marketing, and people are like, what is that? And what's the advantage? And how can I do it? So Melissa, welcome back onto Mission Accepted.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm so happy to be here and to be continuing this series and helping all of you entrepreneurs out there get some clarity on digital marketing and hopefully touch on some burning questions that you may have thought about or maybe even tried to Google some information on, but just can't seem to figure out a way forward or what exactly all of this means and how to implement it in your own business. A lot of times entrepreneurs, when it comes to digital marketing, they even get stuck at what to do first. Yeah. So today, I really want to talk about planning for long-term growth, planning for sustainability, right from square one, even if you are at the very beginning, and what kind of offers are going to set you up for success in terms of building a sustainable income online.
And I think that's so important because, you know, Melissa, one of the things about digital marketing that kind of, you know, floods people's, like I say, prefrontal cortex or your brain is the plethora of what people do, what they don't do, what we should do. And honestly, even going on to Google to try to find out your marketing plan can be a really interesting process, right? I don't know if I highly recommend it or recommend it at all, because you can get lost in that rabbit hole and end up listening to something that may or may not be, you know, pertinent to you. So that's why I love how we're building relationship not only with each other, but with the audience, and so that they can come to know and trust that you as an expert and look at, I mean, you're coming on the show now and we've been talking for a year and a half. So, you know, you've claimed your spot, you know what it is that you're doing. And I think that it's really important to have a trusted source, because we are talking sustainability. We are talking long-term. And sometimes in our businesses, we do something and it might be exit stage left, maybe didn't work the way we wanted. And we don't know how or maybe why it didn't work if we don't have the advice of an expert. So we do something that we see, or someone says, I'm killing it on TikTok. You got to go on TikTok. So you go on TikTok, but you don't even know if that's your audience. You don't even know if your people are there. You don't know if your audience is coming on at 6 a.m. and you're on at 6 p.m. I mean, there's so many elements. And honestly, I would much rather have somebody else's expertise brain guiding me through that, because things can work. Sometimes just doing them a little differently, or you shouldn't be doing that at all. That's not your thing. So what I love about what we're going to talk about today, evergreen, is things that are going to help sustain, because you're not just in the business for the now. You're not just in business for the trend, right? I mean, maybe you're building a business and you plan on selling it off to somebody, but you're going to sell it off to somebody that wants to have sustainability. It is the long game, right? So that's why I think making decisions around marketing can be stuff that you're doing in the immediate, but there has to be a ROI to it, that return of investment. So please tell us, you know, there's a lot of people that are tapping into the word evergreen. You know, what is evergreen? And, you know, a lot of coaches, consultants, I know that you specialize in personality businesses. I love that name, by the way, personality businesses, because even if they're buying your, I don't know, your earrings, they might be buying you first, you know, so you're in a personality business. Please do share with us what we can do to have evergreen business and sustainable financial return.
Absolutely. And I think part of the fun of being an entrepreneur is being able to take risks on new ideas and new things and test them out. And while it's fun, unless you have a sustainable source of income from your offers, you're not really at a point where you can afford probably to invest your resources, now not just financially, also your time, into experimenting with new things. So that's why I would encourage entrepreneurs to think of sustainability first, evergreen offers first, because that will actually, when that is done right, that will give you the freedom to explore other offers and to really enjoy the fun part of owning your own business and going down that road and exploring different things. So today I'm speaking to mainly coaches, consultants, personality-based businesses. You know, there's tons of information out there about how to create a course, become a course creator. Yay. Like, and I find that a lot of the advice that's out there basically comes down to one key thing, and that is, think about what you are really good at. Sometimes, if there may be a heart-centered coach or consultant, they might say, and also what you're passionate about. And then figure out how you can map out that information in a course and show other people how to do it. When you are thinking about evergreen courses, there's actually one more element that you want to make sure that you're considering before you start going down that path of creating this course. And you want to make sure, yes, of course, you're a subject matter expert, but you also want to be sure that the subject and the topic that you choose is evergreen. And I do not hear very many people talking about this, you know, and especially if you're going to take the time to create this course. And then I can even give a personal example.
Yeah, absolutely.
A few years ago, I created a course on kind of like a DIY Facebook ads, like we do done for you services. But, you know, I thought this will be helpful to other people. Super, super affordable. I'm going to create a course on how to do it for people who just want to maybe throw up a couple of ads and just get the ball rolling. I scrapped it because the subject matter is not evergreen. Facebook or Meta changes the look of their platform all the time. So every time they change the look or the user experience, you need to re-record your videos, because now people following along are going to have no clue where they are or what they're doing because the platform changed. Also, marketing itself changes. right? All the time. Yes. So it wasn't something that was evergreen, and it becomes a whole lot of work for you. So that's why I would really encourage people to sit down and pick a topic that you know is evergreen. So some examples of topics I might consider is maybe for a business coach, right? We're all in business. And so we know, for example, if you just want to create a course that's focused to maybe US-based entrepreneurs, your evergreen courses, a good place to start the thinking process is around foundational concepts, right? So maybe what it takes to actually establish a business, right? Like structurally, you need to register here, you need to do this here. Like those kind of things, the odds of them changing in the next couple of years is not very likely, right? Some of these things, these processes have been in place forever and ever. They're not going to change. Or even things around like mindset or like meditation, things like that. Focusing on, you know, how to get into those states, how to do things like that. Things that are just that constant in your business, foundational concepts, those are usually the best fit for your evergreen courses. And then as you get further on, right, once you've established this evergreen course, that's going to, you know, be your staple offer. It's going to be the one that's generating that sustainable income. Then that would be the time to explore. Okay, now that you've taken this one, now take this super cool new offer where it digs into this very specific thing. Or maybe there's a trendy new, healing technique, right? Like mindset, or you're a healer. Now there's this new healing technique that's come out that everyone wants to know about. Okay, now maybe do a course on that. But I wouldn't start with those things because, as we all know, trends come and go, right? So
well, and I would think that if you had a base of people, so it's funny, I'm going back to my aromatherapy days, right? So a lot of the lectures that I taught, I would do introductory aromatherapy. Right? The history of aromatherapy doesn't change. You know, Gaudafase, when he burnt his hand in the lab and put lavender on it, went and had like, oh my gosh, lavender is just as, you know, we need to start, you know, working with lavender on burns. When you go back to the origin of how aromatherapy came to be, then it was aromatherapy, you know, intermediate and then advanced aromatherapy. Those skills never changed. And then I would do aromatherapy for children, aromatherapy for parents, aromatherapy for, you know, skin conditions, aromatherapy for depression. But there was that foundational piece that never changed. I guess you'd have to change it. I was realizing like, okay, well that, you know, I've had it for 4 or 5 years. Maybe I want to do it differently because I look different now, but the information was still the same. I think that's a great place to start, or that's a great place, great thing to remind people. You see it all the time in the world of, you know, the things changing, and then they kind of upgrade or they offer an extra class or something like that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I know that somebody listening or watching right now is probably thinking, okay, well, if I stick to the foundations, like you said, like the basics of aromatherapy, well, if I stick to this, I thought all the gurus said I need to be like super niche with all of my offers and all this, like, how am I going to stand out if I'm just focusing on these basic concepts? So coaches and consultants, personality based businesses, your ultimate brand differentiator is you. It's your personality, okay? Your marketing, it should always focus on connecting with your audience based on you, your brand story. That is what sets you apart. Yes, you do want to have a very clear idea of who exactly you are serving as your audience, but sticking with the foundational offer like that, with the goal of having an evergreen course as a sustainable income stream, you want that monthly recurring revenue from that course. In that context, you're okay. Do not stress about that. This is about sustainability, right? We're not just in business for fun, right? We still have bills to pay. So focus on that first and then enjoy the freedom after. Get as creative as you want, test new offers as you want to, and just get that passive income flowing.
And so when people are taking a look, they're like, okay, because we are seeing it everywhere. Hey, I help people get their courses online. And I know that's what you guys do as well. So, having someone taking that step back and going, you know, at the core of what I teach, what is it? What are those fundamental pieces? And then they're making a course. So let's talk a little bit about that. Cause you're like, you know, evergreen offers. So is it just through a course? Like, is there anything? Okay, I know what I do. I know what I can teach. So take me from there.
Yeah. So once your course is developed, if you really want to turn this into a passive income stream, scrolling through social media, you will hear the stories, you know, I did this, I make this much, you know, from this and passive income, I do nothing.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
You see it all the time. Yeah. Yeah. And you're like, really, did you really make $500,000 in the last 8 hours? Really? You know, and then exactly. There's the ones that are more legitimized. You're like, okay, that makes sense. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And as someone who, you know, kind of runs these programs and these offers and the marketing for these coaches, someone who sees behind the scenes, there is a lot more that goes on. And to get it to that kind of passive state, now passive doesn't mean zero work. It just means much, much less work. You need to incorporate automation into marketing that offer. If you create an evergreen course and you nail that, but then you're only using organic strategies where you're just going on Facebook Live nonstop trying to sell your product, that's going to burn you out. And that's not the reason why you created this evergreen product. So getting familiar with funnel platforms specifically that have all of the capabilities to be able to fully automate all those steps to, you know, from when somebody downloads your free lead magnet, let's say, it takes them to the next step. All of that can be automated. Your fulfillment emails to your course are automated. Your course access is automated. All of those things. You can even automate a personal email message from yourself to, like, pre-written, of course, it's automated to go out to the person. Those funnel platforms and that automation is really going to make this so easy for you. For our clients, it's literally that they just refresh their inbox. Oh, look, Stripe payment or PayPal payment. Sweet. Like, that is as simple as it can be. If you do take advantage of those automation tools out there, that is how they are doing it. They're not, you know, putting up, like, it's running like a well-oiled machine at that point. So that is that nice space you want to get to be able to use that automation. So you can just kind of, you can almost set it and forget it.
You know, I really, first of all, I want to thank you so much for defining for people passive income, because as someone who has passive, who helps other people create passive, who encourages passive, who believes in passive, thank you for defining that passive. And, you know, God bless the 4-Hour Workweek book. I mean, I think that was a great book. I think it really brought around the concept of you don't have to work every day, all day in your business and farming things out. And it's okay to have, you know, we always say it's okay to have someone else, you know, do your laundry. It doesn't matter if they fold your shirts the right way. You've got better things to do or bigger things to do or different things to do. I just happen to fold my own laundry. No, I'm kidding. But you talked about passive is not no work. It's less work. It's less work, right? And I think that taking the time invested to really get this part right will even create less work, and that the passive income isn't something that you never look at again or never do again. You know, you need to stay current with your passive income stream needs and relevancy to the market, which is great to have an expert do that. So when you're talking, I just know so many people, and obviously because we publish books, I know a lot of authors per se. They come into Collaborative Books, and we know we've got a couple going on right now. And when I think about that, they've been asked to come into a book because they're an expert on that, right? And for the first time, some of them are like, yeah, that's an expert. I'm like, yeah, you know, you're an expert in this. How can authors take advantage of doing something like this? It just flashes, we're talking, and I see all these people in my world, especially, doing these collaborative author books because they are an expert in a certain part of their industry or in their industry as a whole. Is this good for them?
Yeah. So in terms of the a sales funnel structure, so we talked about having the automated sales funnel. Having a book, if you already have a book or, you know, products like calendars or things like these, you can incorporate that into your automated sales funnel. And so sales funnels do typically have more than one offer, right? I mean, you don't want to go crazy and have like 10 different upsells and all this stuff. I think we've all been trapped in those funnels and we're like, someone just get me out of here. Like, where's the button? You don't want to do that, but done well. So for example, if you know, like your book is speaking to the same audience that your courses, you can very much use your ebook as the first step in your funnel. If you want to, or in one of your funnels where the second step is, hey, okay, read this book. And then now if you really want to get into the kind of nitty gritty about this and learn more, check out my course here. So you right. can definitely use that also as part of your evergreen funnel. And we do that a lot. Like all of our clients have multiple different offers and products. And it's just kind of figuring out the right way to incorporate that into an automated funnel that's going to work for what you do offer.
Right. So obviously having something to offer is important. You know, what is that kind of prize at the end? Is it going to be a one-on-one call with you? Is it going to be a course? Is it going to be a workshop? Is it going to be a mastermind? Is it going to be, and then, it could be a product, right? It could be products. Do you recommend like for people that have books or have products, can that be, what someone would use a funnel for as well?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And so when you're talking about evergreen, so let's go back to evergreen a little bit and this automation. So people are like, okay, so I know I have a skill or I know I have a product to sell. I know I can talk to that. I know I can educate to that. And so coming up with that first video, I'm assuming the video or the webinar or whatever it is that's going to give them that, and then driving them to take that next step, right? Mm-hmm. And doing that through automation. So what are some of the things that people take that people what are some of the next steps that people send people to?
Yes. So we can use the example of the ebook to the evergreen course. So an ebook, you could, I'll just kind of put together a funnel here just off the top of my head.
Yeah.
So you can maybe offer, if you have an ebook, so you can maybe offer the lead magnet. So the first step in the funnel when people land on your page, it could be, hey, get a free chapter of my ebook. And then the next one might be, hey, like if you purchase this book now, if you have multiple books, say, hey, you can get my entire series right now for this price. Okay. Yes or no, whatever it is. And the next step could be, okay, do you want to check out this webinar here where I explain this concept in much greater detail? It's going to give you, you know, so much clarity on your next step. They get to the webinar, and then the webinar is where I might pitch. So if you had the evergreen course that we were talking about, that is where I would pitch the course. So if your course is about like under $1,500, you can pitch your course right there, talk all about it, give people the link to purchase it. If it's more of maybe your evergreen course, more of a high ticket offer, maybe like, you know, like over $1,500, sometimes like it can be around like 3,000 or plus, right? You do usually need to invite people to a call before you make the sale. So you can still tell them all about the opportunity, but usually they want to speak with someone before dropping their credit card for that kind of money on a webinar, typically. And this, that piece actually using the call to action to book a call versus actually pitching on the webinar, that actually comes down to sales skills and sales strategy. A little bit kind of divergent from marketing overall. We talk about that's actually rooted in sales psychology. So that's why we recommend that as part of the marketing funnel, why we take those different approaches. It actually really depends on the price point.
Right. The price point of the final product.
Yeah.
So is there, so a lot of people are using things where you can see it yourself. You'll watch a webinar, or you'll watch a, whatever someone's automated video is, whatever we're calling that, that evergreen offer. And then you're talking about automation. What's the automation part? Is it the email that comes back that's automated? Is it the text that comes back on Messenger that says, hey, thanks so much for watching. Here's your next step. How much automation should people really take a look at doing?
You can automate almost everything, almost every step, honestly, like right from, like when people opt in at every step, you can then trigger an email to go out to them, a nurture sequence that will now feed out once over the next however many days you want to set up for however many emails you have. If your funnel is set up correctly, if they abandon their cart, you can send them another sequence that says, hey, you abandoned your cart. This is super popular. Like we're familiar with this all the time in e-commerce, right? You left something in your cart, go back. You can do the same thing with this stuff. And also, yeah, like chat inquiries or things like that. You can have responses pre-programmed. And you can also do another option where people can like select based on what their thing is, what their question is. So for example, I want to learn more about this, or I want to speak to someone, or I really want to know about this other thing. So they can also kind of self-direct where they want to go in that automation. And the important thing is too, as you automate all these steps, you don't want to lose the human element, the human feel in it. Right. So, you know, buying some random chatbot and just plug it into your stuff is going to feel very impersonal to people. And that's not the way to go. I would say, like, if you're going to do it, take the time to customize it, to learn what are the most frequently asked questions. So then it's just another opportunity to even build that relationship more. People will come into your chat, they get an automated response, and they're like, oh yeah, those are like literally the top three questions that I wanted to ask. They already know what I'm going to ask. Right. It's automated, but it still shows them that you understand your audience.
And people are like, I think people are starting to lend and be okay with some automation. They actually understand that. I think sometimes for someone to take the leap and do this kind of business, I think it's more difficult when you're from a generation that used to handshake, meet in person, and sign deals. And I think, just giving people that slack. I know for me, it took a while for me to really comprehend this and watch it happen in the marketplace, be a user of it where I've signed up for things and I'm watching how people are sending me their emails, what I like, what I don't like, and that it really has become a okay form. I mean, 5 years ago, people would have been like, what, you're not going to pick up the phone and call me? That it really has changed. And it's been I'm not going to say difficult, but it's been like, wow, it's been kind of mentally getting over. You know, as much as I am a belly to belly person, I've built my business that way and I will continue to build my business this way. And this is, I'm one of these people that are going to hybrid. Some people never want to talk to people and this is their lifelong dream come true. I'm more of a hybrid person. I'm going to go to, a trade event or a networking group or meet with someone for coffee or tea. And I'm super cool with that. And I think and hope we don't lose those communication skills, but this is a great hybrid. When I hear about this process and doing the video and setting up the automation and what have you, I'm like, wow, how long should someone plan for that process? Because it's a creative process, right? So when someone goes, okay, look, I'm going to bite the bullet. I want to do something automated. I want people to get to know me on a mass scale. Two things I think comes into their mind. One is, how long is this going to take me to get this up and going? And how could I possibly handle answering 10 more calls a day at the end of the game when I don't even have enough time for what have you? So those are two completely separate questions, but can you address them?
Sure. Okay. So I think in terms of, and let me know if I'm on the right track here. So in terms of automation, I just want to say, so I think for me, by incorporating automation that is not impersonal, that automation, it allows you to have that, it creates this extra time, that elusive extra time in your business that you can have available for answering those calls, right? If you have a high ticket offer, getting on the phone with people to sell your high ticket offer, right? Yeah. Like that is really like, if you have a high ticket offer yourself as a business owner, you getting on those sales calls, if you don't have a team yet, but that is actually the most leveraged task you could probably possibly do for your business. It directly generates sales for you, right? So that automation, it will free up the time for that. In terms of, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that's exactly. And so here's the interesting thing that I want to say about that is because some of the hesitancy is around like, oh my gosh, how can I handle it? And I'm like, but that means that you don't have to be doing this marketing yourself. Like you're handing the marketing over to an automated person. So you truly can do the piece of that final close and make that automation, you know what I mean? And you can turn it on and off if you're fully booked for the next 6 months, It's like, because people think, how can I do it? And I'm like, well, the question is, how much of your time are you really doing marketing now? Probably quite a bit. If you look at how much am I, it's usually 80% of our time where we're kind of, I always say it's kind of like hunting and, like picking the, go to the garden and pick all the vegetables and then, canning the vegetables is less time than growing and nurturing this. So we spend so much time looking for the client, if we take that time and hand it over to an automated system, we'll actually have time to do the piece that we love. And that's people that are 90% already there, 80% already there, 70% already. If they're getting on a call with you, they've jumped through the hoops that have proven to you that it is a valuable call, right? Not just another one of those, I met you on a networking group, or I met you at a da-da-da group and let's see what we're going to do for each other. They're already through that sales process. Anyways, I just wanted to highlight that. Yeah,
and the automation as well, it doesn't only free up time in your calendar. It also, so a lot of online entrepreneurs, the very first person they'll hire when they think of hiring is a VA. How much time does your VA spend on things like maybe booking calls, rescheduling? All of that can also be automated as part of your funnel. Think of how much time that frees up for them to maybe now again, help you with other tasks and free up more time in your schedule. So it really is that nice snowball effect. In terms of time to set up and get all that going, it really depends, right, on your schedule, your level of expertise, kind of learning these things for the first time. Everybody is different, but you know what? I would say if you can even allocate maybe just an hour, 2 hours a week, maybe make it, you know, on a lunch break, an extended lunch break, maybe do 2 hours on a Friday or something where you take that time to really, right? Because we need to carve out that time in our schedules to do the things that are going to move our business forward. So just blocking off that time, you'll, you know, slowly but surely, you'll make it happen. It's just about creating the space, right? Like with anything, if you want it to happen, you'll make it happen. It's just got to do it. It will, honestly, this is something that will save you so much time.
Absolutely. Really. Absolutely. I mean, it's definitely something that I've learned in my business, being able to, well, I had someone today that wanted to know about the book that I'm launching and coming onto the podcast. And, I hear you that you endorse people. I'm like, here, let me send you this pre-recorded videos that say, hey, this is what this is. Hey. And I'm like, let me know if you have any questions. And so just even the idea of sending videos and educated videos and on the video, giving them that next step to take. Right. So, but having something like this where you're gathering information, it's a whole different ballgame. I mean, what I think people are really seeing in this course creation type of thing or automation type of thing is really what we all kind of go into business for anyways, which is really more time and financial freedom, right? And it also, as an end user, allows me to go look at your services when I want. I can watch the video at 11 o'clock at night, or I do those kind of things in the morning. My 6 to 9 a.m. is really dedicated to those kind of things, where some people do it at night. And so then I get to enjoy it so much more, because I'm watching it also on my time and doing it on my time. That's automation. So we're talking about creating courses. Is there anything else that you want to touch on in terms of passive income, course creation, anything before we kind of wrap up today's class?
I think one thing that I find it's a lot of people who are doing it fully embraced and they're doing it well, but I feel like a lot of people are hesitant to try this. And what I'm talking about is affiliate marketing. And this does not have to be like a huge, like some people, they have literally built an entire business around them just, you know, selling as an affiliate for multiple different businesses, which is a full-time job in itself. So that's kind of a separate thing, but there are easy ways to actually incorporate that into your business. As you know, I'm always a big fan of authenticity, right? Not just selling, connecting with people. So, one of the things that you can take advantage of is, by posting affiliate links to product, to services, or maybe products that you like. I like to recommend services, especially if you're in the online space. There are probably some tools that you use to run your business every day that you love. So do some research, find out if they do offer an affiliate link where you get a little bit of kickback when people sign up. And you can also use that to talk about in your social media posts, your blog, an email, things like that. You do a video, include that link down below. And it's real. You're sharing something that you love. And hey, if you want to check it out, check this out here. And as an added bonus too, to also build your relationship, you could also say, hey guys, click this link, you sign up here, and I will also give you access to then one of your offers, you know, a free seat at a live training that's coming up, a copy of your free book, whatever it is, you get them in your funnel, on your list. And then you're also making a little bit of kickback if they go and sign up while still sharing a service or a platform, an app that you use and you love. Like personally, some of the best apps that I use in my business today, I found through other people in my network saying, hey, I love this, doing a post just like this, sharing their affiliate link. And I'm like, and don't hesitate to do this, right? It may feel salesy, well, I'm just promoting this to drop a link. No, people, if they'll love it as much as you do, they're like, I want to give you the credit for this. Like it's, you know, like it's not as icky as some people. I get that feedback sometimes. They feel like it's icky. People love learning about new things. They love it when someone's just like, oh, this is what you're using. Wow. I've been, you know, Googling and trying to find something for this forever. Thank you for sharing this for me. Of course, they're gonna be happy to give you the credit. So yeah, quick hack, find out if they're offering any affiliate links and start dropping it with your posts, blogs, emails, get a little bit of kickback.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I think that's no different than when people used to do a referral kickback. You know, some people, if they refer, you give them a kickback. You know, a lot of people like, hey, here's a bottle of wine. Hey, you know, one realtor refers another realtor. Like it has been done. It's just that I think a lot of people are worried about, like you said, coming across salesy. But honestly, it's like there's a company that I really love their tools. There's a company that I use that I love their tools. And I say to people straight up, I'm like, I love it. This is what it works for me. I'll send it to you. And full transparency, if you love it, I'm going to get a kickback. I just say it. Why wouldn't you? You know, you just put the elephant in the room. I believe I'm like, look, if you love it, I'm going to tell you straight up, I get a kickback from it. So if that's something that you love, you can do the same with, I say it with no shame because.
Yeah, exactly. And there's no reason to, and yes. And you brought up another good point, the transparency, right? Just say, hey, this is my affiliate link. You sign up here. Just tell them about it. I think on most platforms you have to.
I'd be like, look, I get a kickback. And if you love to do it. And so just fully transparent, if you love it, good, go for you. And then just go do your thing. Like it's not my main gig. It's something that I use for my business. And I think you'll use it. And if you don't, that's okay. But if you loved that thing that I just sent you or that I just used, well, here, go contact them yourself and knock yourself off. And I actually think it's the other way around where people appreciate you're willing to share something that is rocking in your business. They're like, wow, thanks. You're like, yeah, go rock your business. It works for mine. And it actually helps endorse you. It makes, wow, she's a collaborative, she's sharing her secret kind of thing, right? So.
Absolutely. Yeah. That is exactly the kind of perspective that you should have about it. Cause that is exactly how people take it.
Right. Okay. So just to recap a little bit, cause we're going to wrap up and you guys are going to be falling in love with Melissa cause you're going to see a lot of her because she is helping us. Yay. Because it's not what you do. You guys, it is how you do it. That has been something that I've taught in all of my years of business. If something doesn't work, it doesn't mean you throw it out. It means that you tweak it, adjust it, relook at it, reexamine it, strategy, all that good stuff. So she's here to help and we're so grateful. And you will see Melissa quite often over the course of the next few months telling you more and more. If there's something specific that you want to know, super important, just send me off a message to deb@debdrummond.com. You want to be on the show, send me a message. If you want to be in our next planner by providing a quote that pops off the page from paper to digital, please get in touch with us sooner than later because we've got our launch coming up for this year's planner soon enough. And then I'm going to keep that evergreen. See, I didn't mention it was this year because we do an entrepreneur planner every year. So I'm learning from Melissa right here, right now. And then of course, we do have a powerful book that is at the end of this year. And it is 262 women, entrepreneurs, entrepreneurs, creatives, and people in media. And we will do a full cover spread on you. So just reach out. We're happy to have you featured. Thanks for your time today. As always, you guys are the best podcast audience. And I say that genuinely because I talk to other podcasters and I'm like, so does your audience do this? Do they forward your, and they're like, how do you get them to do that? I'm like, because really they're just super cool. And I'm not sharing that secret. No, I'm kidding. Anyways, you guys are fantastic. Till next time, have an incredible day. See you soon. Bye for now.